So, nucleoid region is just the DNA region in prokaryotes. In the nucleus, you're making ribosomes, specifically the nucleolus, which is in the middle of the nucleus. It has no membrane. It's making the ribosomes. You have rough endoplasmic reticulum. That's the one with ribosomes on it, and those ribosomes make the proteins from mRNA. Peroxisomes collect and break down material. I like to think of it as hydrogen peroxide, smooth endoplasmic reticulum, detox, and make lipids. The Golgi apparatus modifies and distributes proteins. The Golgi apparatus is the post office. These are only in eukaryotes. And then within the Golgi, there are two methods of transport. Vesicular transport, where COP2 vesicles move proteins forward, COP1 vesicles move proteins backward, aka back to the rough endoplasmic reticulum. And then in this cisternal maturation model of Golgi transport, basically the vesicle comes through and can just move through the different sections of the Golgi from cis to medial to trans to the exit. And vesicles move in retrograde to be reused. That's it. Okay. Centrioles, nine groups of microtubules that pull chromosomes apart. I'm trying to think of a way to remember this. Centrioles, microtubules pull chromosomes apart. Chromosomes. Lysosomes. Demo and recycling center. Pull chromosomes. Oh, demo and recycling center made by the Golgi. Single membrane. Yeah, they just demolish things. I don't know. I can usually remember that because lice sounds like to like break something open to lice something. Lysosome, demo, and recycling. Plasmids are only in prokaryotes. They carry DNA that is not necessary for survival. Plasmids. Okay, that was parts of the cell. Now we're down to bacteria. Obligate aerobe means it has to have oxygen. Obligate anaerobe means it cannot have oxygen or it will die. Facultative anaerobe means it can be anaerobic or aerobic. Aerotolerant anaerobe. So facultative toggles. Facultative means it can go back and forth. And then aerotolerant anaerobe. Oh, it doesn't use it, but it's okay. All right. Facultative can do both. Aerotolerant means it's not obligate anaerobe, as in it's not going to die. Facultative is both. So like facultative is the bisexual, and then aerotolerant is just like a hetero ally. And then obligate anaerobe is the homophobe. This is how I remember things. All right, gram negative and gram positive. This stuff is fun. So gram negative is pink. Negative is pink. Just remember, because you don't like the color pink, it's negative. Thin peptidoglycan cell wall and outer membrane. Thin cell wall and outer membrane. Thick is purple. Positive is purple. Thick peptidoglycan and lipoteichoic acid cell wall. Thick. Purple is thick. Pink is thin. Pink is gram negative. Purple is gram positive. Let's look at the differences between a prokaryote and a eukaryote. Eukaryote. Reproduce via mitosis. large ribosomes. Extracellular ETC. What is ETC in mitochondria? Oh, electron transport chain. I haven't seen these abbreviations in a hot second. Electron transport chain in mitochondria, right? Humans, we are eukaryotes. Prokaryotes. Prokaryotes have their electron transport chain in the cell membrane. They do not have the mitochondria. They have small ribosomes, reproduce via binary fission. They have plasmids that carry DNA material. They can have virulence factors. Plasmids integrate into the genome and then are called episomes. I remember last year being really confused about plasmids and episomes. Plasmids in prokaryotes only carry DNA not necessary for survival. Plasmids carry DNA material. They have virulence factors. Plasmids that integrate into the genome are episomes. Okay. And there's three different kinds of bacteria. I missed this part. Bacilli, which are rod-shaped, cocci, which are spheres, spirilla, which are spiral. That's pretty easy. Well, the spirilla one is. Cocci is sphere, bacilli is rod. Okay, prions. Prions are infectious proteins that trigger misfolding. Usually from an alpha helix to a beta pleated sheet. Alpha helix to beta pleated sheet, that is a prion. Prion triggers misfolding. Viroid, right, viroid is plant pathogen. I remember all this stuff. There was only one thing I was confused on so far. I like that I didn't remember learning about. I'm only halfway through one page, so it's not really, like, impressive or anything. This is 11 pages. Okay, cytoskeleton, my favorite. I'm just kidding, I hate the cytoskeleton. I don't know why, but I do. Microfilaments, actin, microtubules, tubulin, intermediate filaments, keratin, and desmin. Okay, the cytoskeleton is made of microfilaments, microtubules, and intermediate filaments. So there's two filaments, but there's micro and intermediate, and then microtubules for transport. And the microtubule specifically is tubulin. Microtubules, tubulin, microfilaments, actin, specifically actin. Intermediate filaments are keratin and desmin. Tissues. Parenchyma. Oh, epithelia. Okay, this should be easy. Epithelia. Parenchyma, functional parts of the organ. The parenchyma is the functional part of the organ. Okay, I somehow never knew that. Simple means one layer, stratified means multiple layers. Pseudostratified means it looks like multiple layers, but it's only one. Cuboidal is cube-shaped, columnar is column-shaped. Squamous means it's flat and squished. Connective tissue has a stroma, which is the support, the extracellular matrix, connective tissue, bone, cartilage, tendons, blood. Okay, some clarification on the stroma thing. the supportive tissue of an epithelial organ. Oh, okay, the stroma. It's just another word for connective tissue. Got it. All right. Genetic recombination. Oh boy. I freaking hate genetics. Transformation, genetic information from environment. Conjugation, transfer of genetic information via the conjugation bridge, F positive to F negative, or HFR to recipient. Yeah, I mildly remember this. Transduction, using a bacteriophage, transposons, information can insert and remove itself. Yes, I remember this being kind of hard to memorize. So transformation gets genetic information from the environment. I need to look up a picture, that always helps. I'm pretty sure this is the exact picture I used last year, too. Okay. Transformation. Okay, right. So in transformation, the donor cell releases genetic information. And then it enters the receiving cell. And then boom, now you have mixed genetics. I should have changed the color. That would have made more sense. Okay, that's transformation from environment. But it says from environment, but it's not actually true. It's not from the environment. It's from another cell. But I guess it kind of makes sense. Conjugation. Let's just go to transduction. Transduction is using a bacteriophage. I think transduction sounds like abduction. Just remember that, like, the bacteriophage is like abducting information and then putting it somewhere else. Transposons. Genetic information can insert and remove itself. And then the conjugation is the bridge. Think conjugation like conjugal visit. You have to make a bridge to make that happen. Conjugation. And it's always positive to negative. Positive to negative. Or HFR to recipient. Positive to negative or HFR to recipient. Look up transposon. Transposon, a chromosomal segment that can undergo transposition. Okay. Especially a segment of bacterial DNA that can be translocated as a whole between chromosomal phage and plasmid DNA. Okay. Viruses. Okay, anatomy of a virus. It has a protein coat called the capsid. And some of them have a lipid envelope. Capsid, lipid envelope, viron, the individual virus particles. Virion, virus particles. Bacteriophage is the bacteria virus. The tail sheath injects the DNA or RNA. There's a head with DNA or RNA, a collar, sheath, base plate, tail fibers. It's the anatomy of a bacteriophage. You can inject DNA or RNA. Viral genome can be DNA or RNA, single or double-stranded. If it's a single-stranded DNA or RNA, there's two different kinds. So we have a viral genome. If it is, it can be DNA or RNA. And then if it's single-stranded or double-stranded, or no, if it's single-stranded in positive sense, it's translated by the host. If it's negative sense, the RNA replicase has to synthesize a complementary strand, which then can be translated. Okay. Positive sense means it makes sense, it can be translated by the host. Negative sense means it doesn't make sense and you need help. You need something from the outside to help you translate. Only if it's single-stranded, which makes sense. Because you don't... Yeah, okay. A retrovirus. Retrovirus is a single-stranded RNA that requires reverse transcriptase needed to make DNA. And let's see. Central dogma says DNA to RNA to proteins. And the whole thing about retroviruses is just that they mess up the dogma and they move RNA to DNA. RNA to DNA. Retrovirus, you start with RNA. Remember, retro, RNA. Retrovirus, you start with RNA. And you use reverse transcriptase. Okay. Oh yeah, there's two different kinds of bacteriophage life cycles. Lytic and lysogenic. Oh, it's so amazing that all this is just like... I mean, who knows if I'll remember it, but... I'm like feeling very familiar with all of it, which is nice because when I first learned about all this, I was like, oh, none of this seems familiar at all. But this time I'm like, oh yeah, I remember painstakingly memorizing all that the first time. Well, it's the second time, you know? No biggie. Lytic virions made until the cell lyses. Lysogen. Oh, right, because it's like it seems like it should be named differently, but it feels like it's named incorrectly because the lytic one makes the cell lyse, but the lysogenic one is dormant until stress activates it. Yeah, it's like it doesn't match. Doesn't make sense. Get a picture. The lytic cycle, bacterial cell, you have a bacteriophage inserting DNA, and the DNA from the other cell is replicating inside the host cell until it lyses and then it explodes out. But then in the lysogenic cell, the DNA comes in and then just becomes part of the host DNA, and then eventually when the host divides, it has that DNA in it, and then it can enter the lytic cycle. That's actually a really good picture. I could draw that probably. I did draw that one. So lytic. For lytic, you have, oh, you know, I just want to put it on a post-it note. A card. Let's see. Redraw this picture. The lytic cycle is actually lysogenic, and the lysogenic cycle becomes lytic. It makes no sense. But that's okay. It doesn't have to. I just have to remember it. So when I start out lytic, I have a bacteriophage that is inserting DNA into my host cell, and it just becomes its own little thing. And here's my host cell, and it has this outside DNA, but the outside DNA is separate. And then the outside DNA is going to replicate a whole bunch until you got a bajillion of the outside DNA in the cell, and it bursts open. And now you got a bunch of the the DNA all over the place because it burst. Okay. But in the lysogenic cycle, of a bacteriophage, and the DNA that comes in it, and I'm going to use a different color, I picked too light of a post-it note. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to tell the difference in the color. Oh yeah, I can. Okay, the bacteria comes in. Keep saying bacteria. The DNA comes in, and then it fuses with the host DNA. So now, when the host replicates via binary fission, now you have two cells with the foreign DNA, and then eventually those cells, if they want, can join, or I guess it would be this stage, not that stage. You can join this stage of the cycle when that foreign DNA detaches, and then it enters that cycle. Okay. Great. Now I have this lovely little drawing. Alright, page number one has been reviewed. Just 10 more to go. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, it's 12 pages. 11 pages. The cell cycle. All right. Okay. G1, G0, S, G2, M. How did I remember that before? I thought was a different order. I thought it was GSGM. They're having a G-naught here. They include a G-naught. And I don't know about that. Oh, yeah. Okay. GSG2M. Most of these diagrams don't even have G-naught in here. This one does. Nope, it doesn't. Okay, well, I'm not going to worry about it too much. Oh, here we go. Okay, so G1, and if it's not going to divide, it goes into G0. And then SG2M. G1S, G2M. In G1, you're making mRNA. mRNA and proteins. You're preparing for mitosis. G1 is preparing. G0 is pause. G1 is preparing for mitosis, specifically. mRNA and proteins. We're beefing up. We're getting strong and prepared. At the G1 checkpoint, the cell decides if it's going to divide or not. And P53 is in charge of that. And there's a whole bunch of information about P53. And then in S, the DNA is replicated. S phase, DNA is replicated. S phase, DNA is replicated. DNA is replicated. And then in G2, the cell is growing. Because G are the growth stages. G equals G growth. Cell growth, you're making organelles rather than mRNA and proteins like in G1. Now you're making organelles. G2 checkpoint, check the cell size and the organelles. And then an M. M stands for mitosis and cytokinesis. Growth signals. Oh, I hated these. Freaking hate these. Okay. There's that one. I was looking for that color and it was gone. Okay. I hate this. Oh wait, no, it's not what I thought it was. It is. It's just less detailed, which probably is going to end up being really helpful. Okay, growth signals. This is within the cell cycle. Positive growth signals. CDK and cyclin create a complex. CDK cyclin complex says, let's grow. Phosphorylating RB to RBNP. Wouldn't that be dephosphorylating? RB changes shape, releases E2F, cell division continues. Alright, this is starting to be kind of like, what? I don't remember what you're talking about. And then negative cell signals. Negative growth signals. The cell cycle halts. E2F stays attached. CDK inhibitors block phosphorylation of RB. Alright, now let's figure out what all of that means, because I don't remember any of it. That's a bit too detailed. Here's a video. Just watch this real quick. Okay, good news. After a lovely Khan Academy video, I now understand what's going on with the whole RB thing. Alright, great. I don't need to dwell on this anymore. Moving right along. Okay. Phosphorylation of CDK4 with cyclin D gives you phosphorylated RB, which signals you to grow. Positive growth signal. And then RB being phosphorylated releases a molecule called E2F, which also is a positive growth signal. Conversely, negative growth signal is basically the opposite of that. So, blocking of the phosphorylation of RB. RB has a negative influence on the cell cycle. E2F stays attached, and the cell cycle does not happen. Oh, I see. This was a sequence of events. Okay, got it. Okay, sex chromosomes. Sex is determined by the 23rd pair of chromosomes. XX is female, XY is male. X-linked disorders are ones that male express, men always express, because they have XY. So if it's on their X, they have it. If a woman, or a woman having an X-linked disorder means that they can be a carrier. The Y chromosome has little genetic information. And then the mnemonic to remember it, the SRY gene, sorry you're a male. Oh gosh, okay, that's pretty funny. No offense, full offense actually. Okay, male reproductive system. I should be able to just fly by this. If my degree gave me anything, it should be a basic knowledge of physiology. Semen is sperm and seminal fluid. Bulbourethral glands make a viscous fluid to clean out the urethra. Seminal vesicles and prostate gland make the alkaline fluid, help the sperm survive the acidic conditions of the female reproductive tract. Remember the 7-up sperm pathway mnemonic? Whoa. 7-up, starting with seminiferous tubules, epididymis, vas deferens, ejaculatory duct, urethra, penis. Why is penis separate from urethra? That's kind of weird, but okay. Not sure whose decision that was. It wouldn't have been my decision, because that doesn't make sense, but okay. Seminiferous tubules, site of spermatogenesis, nourished by Sertoli cells. Epididymis stores sperm. It's where sperm gained motility. Vas deferens raises and lowers the test. That's not right. I'm about to fact check this. The cremasteric muscle does that. Yeah, that's not. They put vas deferens does that. I don't think that's. Well, I know it's not right. So far I found two typos. It's not a big deal though. Okay, oh, the menstrual cycle. I hate the menstrual cycle so much. I'm gonna skip over here. Female reproductive system. Okay, you got ovaries with follicles. that produce the ova, controlled by FSH and LH. Oogenesis is the production of the female gametes. Estrogen responds to follicle-stimulating hormone, develops the reproductive tract, and thickens the uterine wall. Progesterone is in response to LH, maintains and protects the endometrium. It's the pregnancy hormone. It's preparing for pregnancy. Hey, kitty cat. You really should not be laying down here on all my stuff. If you're gonna lay down, you need to lay down back where you were, because you weren't in the way, and now you're in the way. Okay. Interesting. Egg, peritoneal sac, fallopian tube, oviduct. Okay. I guess that makes sense, kind of. The one I'm not super sure about is progesterone. Maintains and protects the endometrium, that makes sense. Estrogen establishes, progesterone protects. Okay, I like that. That's a nice little mnemonic. Estrogen establishes, progesterone protects. Alright. GnRH. GnRH stimulates FSH and LH. FSH being follicle stimulating hormone, LH being luteinizing hormone. Follicle stimulating works on the ova or the sperm. Yep, spermatogenesis, development of ovarian follicles, and then luteinizing hormone has to do with the hormones. So luteinizing hormone makes testosterone, and then in women it induces ovulation. LH surge around day 14 is what induces ovulation. Okay. Alright, menstrual cycle. Okay, you have proliferative and secretory phase. Now we have follicular and luteal. Follicular and luteal. Luteal being brought on by the LH surge around day 14 when you have ovulation. LH just has one huge peak around that day 14. FSH also gets higher, but not nearly as much as LH. They both increase slightly at the end of the luteal phase. And then if you look at estrogen slowly climbs and then gets super duper duper high when LH is surging. And then after the estrogen and LH surge, then progesterone starts to increase during the luteal phase. Also the secretory phase. And menstruation occurs during the first 7 days, 0 to 7. Proliferative is 7 to 14. Secretory is 14 to 28. Okay. Mitosis. My attention span has really gone to crap. Mitosis. P. mat. Ploidy of 2N throughout. No idea what they mean by P. mat. Mitosis? What is mitosis? P. mat. Plasma membrane. Monoamine transporter. Oh, or the four phases of mitosis. Prophase, metaphase, anaphase, telophase. I guess PMAT is a fun mnemonic. I just remember them because I don't know. PMAT, prophase. DNA condenses, centrioles migrate to the opposite poles, and microtubules form. This, I think, calls for another post-it note. Let's see. The male reproductive, because I don't really think I'm gonna need to review that again. Okay, mitosis. I'm gonna pull up a picture too. Okay, I just died momentarily for some reason. I just started choking on air, so I'm glad that's over. Alright, where were we? Oh, yeah, I was gonna draw the phases of mitosis because it's always good to draw things to help you remember. So you got prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. And in prophase, you are condensing the DNA. Centrioles migrate to opposite poles. And I need another color for centrioles. Okay. I'm doing a lot of purple for this. Okay. And then in metaphase, that's when they line up very neatly in just one row to be pulled apart. And then in anaphase, they are being pulled apart. And then you have little half chromosomes pulled to the opposite sides of the cell. And then in telophase, your cell is splitting, and now your DNA decondenses, and it just looks like gobbledygook again. And then you start to get a nucleus forming, nuclear membrane forming. And that is mitosis. And they wrote down prophase, DNA condenses, centrioles migrate to opposite poles, and microtubules form. Nuclear envelope disappears. Metaphase, meet in the middle. Chromosomes meet in the middle. Anaphase, apart. Sister chromatids separate and move toward opposite poles. And then in telophase, chromosomes decondense. Nuclear membrane forms. Cytokinesis occurs. Okay. Then in meiosis, you have PMAT times 2, as in we're going to do that 2 times. Let's see. Non-disjunction occurs when sister chromatids don't separate during anaphase. It results in aneuploidy. Non-disjunction. That's another one I remember pretty well, to be honest. Non-disjunction. Sister chromatids don't separate properly during anaphase, results in aneuploidy. Okay, so prophase one. Chromosomes condense. Oh, they literally had a picture right here. I didn't even notice. That's fine. Drawing it still helps. So just keep in mind. Oh wait, no, they only drew meiosis. They didn't draw mitosis, so that's fine. Now I don't have to draw meiosis. And I'll just put this here so I can compare. Okay. So in meiosis, you have like pairs. Rather than, you first have pairs and then it's like mitosis. So the first phase of meiosis, you have two chromosomes aligned. And then in the second stage, it's just the same as mitosis, where it comes apart. And where does recombination happen? In prophase one. Why don't they have that in the drawing? Prophase 1, chromosomes condense, nuclear membrane dissolves, homologous chromosomes form bivalence. Hence the pairing of the chromosomes. And that's when crossing over occurs in prophase 1 of meiosis. Prophase 1 of meiosis is where crossing over occurs. Metaphase 1, spindle fibers form from opposite centrosomes connected to bivalence at the centromere and align them along the middle of the cell. Homologous pairs move to opposite sides of the cell in anaphase. This is disjunction, allows for the law of segregation. Okay. Telophase 1, chromosomes decondense, nuclear membrane may reform, cell divides via cytokinesis, forming two haploid daughter cells. And then in meiosis 2, you have prophase. Chromosomes condense, nuclear membrane dissolves, centrosomes move to opposite poles, perpendicular to before. Metaphase 2, spindle fibers from opposite centrosomes attached to chromosomes at the centromere, align them along the cell equator. And spindle fibers contract in anaphase to separate the sister chromatids. Chromatids move to opposite poles. Chromosomes decondense in telophase 2. Nuclear membrane reforms, cell membrane, cell divides via cytokinesis to form four haploid daughter cells. That is page 2. Okay. Now I have 10 pages to go. I am gonna watch a video real quick of mitosis and meiosis because it will help get it in my head. BRB. Okay, back to business. Fertilization occurs in the ampulla of the fallopian tube. The sperm's acrosomal enzymes penetrate the corona radiata and zona pellucida of the ovum. Oh, my pen died. No, I love this pen. Maybe it's back. Acrosomal enzymes inject pronucleus. Cortical reaction increases calcium, which depolarizes the ovum membrane and makes it impenetrable. Okay, one more time. Fertilization occurs in the ampulla of the fallopian tubes. The sperm's acrosomal enzymes penetrate the corona radiata and zona pellucida. The cortical reaction releases calcium. Cortical reaction releases calcium, which depolarizes the ovum, making it impenetrable. Okay, and you've got phases of development. So the first phase is fertilization. Second phase is the morula. It's an early phase. It's just a solid solid mass of cells. And then your blastula is the one that's implanted. So the morula is just floating. The blastula is implanted. And it is a fluid-filled blastocell. I'm so bad at development. The trophoblast forms the chorion and placenta. The inner cell mass forms the organism itself. It's funny that they don't say fetus. Why do they say organism? You can call it a fetus. If you don't want to call it a baby, call it a fetus. Okay, so blastula is implanted. It has the chorion and placenta, and then the inner cell mass. And then it's in the endometrium. Okay. And then gastrulation. Archenteron leads to blastopore. I don't know what that is. Gastrulation just means the formation of the three layers, ectoderm, mesoderm, endoderm. So ectoderm is the nervous system, skin, hair, nails, mouth, anus. Musculoskeletal system is the mesoderm. The mesoderm is most of it. So circulatory, gonads, adrenal cortex. It's actually a lot more than that. Most of the organs are mesoderm. Endoderm is the tracks, the smooth linings of things like GI, respiratory, bronchi, bladder, stomach, but specifically the linings. Okay. Neurulation, the mesoderm. The mesoderm develops a notochord. The notochord induces the ectoderm to make neural folds. Neural folds, they didn't put notochord. Notochord to neural folds, to the neural tube, to the central nervous system. Or neural folds offshoot neural crest cells make the peripheral nervous system. Notochord, neural folds, neural tube, CNS. Notochord, neural folds, neural crest, peripheral nervous system. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm very hungry. Stem cells. Totipotent means they are total. They can be any type of cell. Pluripotent means they can be any except for placenta. Think placenta. Multi can just be multiple types, but they're significantly more limited. Fetal circulation. Fetal hemoglobin has a much higher affinity for oxygen than adult hemoglobin. Oxygen and carbon dioxide are exchanged via diffusion. Duh. Trying to figure out what this means. The umbilical artery travels to the placenta with deoxygen. Oh, right. So there's two places where artery is deoxygenated and vein is oxygenated, and that is for the lungs and for a baby. So the umbilical artery is deoxygenated blood, bringing deoxygenated blood from the baby to the placenta. And then the umbilical vein is bringing oxygenated blood from the placenta to the baby. Got it. Let's look at this lovely picture. So we have the vaginal canal, external os, cervix, internal os, uterine cavity, chorion. Okay, this is mainly where I need to look because this is the only part that I don't know off the top of my head. Okay. should have just highlighted that. Let's see. Okay. So, the corium is this big first layer. You have corions on the outside. You have amnion, the second layer. You have a chorionic cavity between the two. I wish they were in order. That would have made it make a lot more sense. Amniotic fluid is inside the amnion. Buddy, you want to come up here again? Okay. Then the umbilical cord is going from the baby to the placenta, which is this aggregation here. Yolk sac, chronic villi. Okay. Hey, buddy. No, don't step on my computer. Okay. You need to lay down over there where you're not in the way, mister. Just lay down. You're good there. There you go. Okay, twins, fraternal, dizygotic, identical, monozygotic, aka you had two eggs or you had one egg that split into two. Cell specialization. Determination is when the cell commits to becoming a different type of cell, but differentiation is when it actually does it, when it selectively transcribes the genes appropriate for its cell's specific function. Induction, a group of cells influence the fate of nearby cells, mediated by inducers, commonly known as growth factors. With regards to differentiation, okay, this is easy. Autocrine works on itself. Paracrine works on nearby. Juxtacrine. Oh, wait. What's the difference between paracrine and juxtacrine? I think juxtacrine is... there's like a physical, like a gap junction. Juxtacrine involves contact between two cells. So maybe I didn't know this. Uses receptor. And then endocrine travels in the bloodstream. Okay. Fetal shunts. Ductus arteriosus and one doesn't have the other one. Oh, foramen ovale. Here it is. Fetal shunts. To skip the lungs, you have foramen ovale and ductus arteriosus. To skip the liver, you have the umbilical vein. So foramen ovale is between the atria, left to right atria, and then ductus arteriosus is from the pulmonary artery to the aorta. I'm going to draw this so you can remember. Here's my four chambers. My foramen ovale is here, allowing blood to come this way and this way. And then my ductus arteriosus, pulmonary artery to the aorta. The pulmonary arteries are taking deoxygenated blood. Make sure I draw this right. Right. The pulmonary artery is taking the deoxygenated blood to the lungs. Okay, so it goes from the where am I going to draw this? And then the aorta would be coming from here. This is a pretty shoddy drawing, but oh well. And so then the ductus arteriosus is the tiny little valve here that kind of becomes a ligament later. Pulmonary artery to the aorta. Alright, that is page 3. Nine to go. Oh, fun. Neurons. This page is all about neurons. I love to see it. Okay. Neurons. Afferent ascend the spinal cord. Interneurons between neurons. Efferent exit the spinal cord. Really like that, because that's not like what the most important thing about them is. The most important thing is the afferent is receiving information and the efferent is sending information, or receiving information from the outside to show efferent is sending a message or a response. Afferent is input, efferent is the response or reaction, whatever. Summations. Temporal means same space, different time. Spatial, different space, same time. That's kind of confusing. Temporal. Let's draw a picture. In spatial, I have one over here and one over here, but they fire at the same time. But then, with temporal, I've got two right here stacked on each other, and it's like boop, 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 boop. And then later, it's like boop, 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 boop. That didn't really help, but oh well. Temporal is same space, different time. Spatial, different space, same time. Well, that's confusing. Why did they name it like that? Oh my gosh, it's so annoying. You just have to pick one and remember it. Spatial is different space. Spatial means there's in a different space, same time. Spatial means different space, same time. Okay. An action potential. This should be easy. Resting membrane potential is usually about minus 70 millivolts. If you hit the threshold of depolarization, aka becoming more positive, usually having to do with sodium coming in the cell, making it more positive, depolarizing it, then you make an action potential happen. Then now your ions are in the cell, making it positive. Now your potassium channels are opening to allow potassium to exit the cell, and they're repolarizing it, making it more negative. And then those potassium channels take a long time. They're kind of slow. So that results in the hyperpolarization, which they didn't write on here. And that makes a refractory period, because it is now so negative that even with a regular stimulus that might make an exponential, it doesn't do anything. Okay, a synapse. You have a presynaptic vesicle. Postsynaptic. Presynaptic neuron. Postsynaptic neuron. The action potential travels down the presynaptic neuron, activating calcium channels. So now you've got a bunch of voltage-gated calcium channels that have been activated. And that causes the synaptic vesicles to be released, or to come onto the docking proteins, and then to be released. The neurotransmitter comes out and is bound to the receptor on the postsynaptic neuron, and then it does its thing. Neurotransmitter can be released or removed from the synaptic cleft via breakdown by enzymes, reuptake back into the presynaptic, or diffusion out of the cleft. It just leaves. Glial cells. Those are always fun to try and remember. Okay. Glial cells, astrocytes form the blood-brain barrier. How could I forget? Blood-brain barrier. Control solutes moving from the bloodstream into the nervous system, or tissue, nervous tissue. Ependymal cells are the barrier between CSF and interstitial fluid. Microglia digest waste. Schwann cells and oligodendrocytes are the myelination of the neuron, or the axon specifically, of the neuron. Schwann cell is peripheral, oligodendrocyte is central. White matter is myelinated axon sheaths, gray matter is the cell bodies, and dendrites, unmyelinated. In the brain, the white matter is deep, the gray matter is on the outside. And in the spinal cord, the gray matter is on the inside and the white matter is on the outside. I can remember that because you have ventral and lateral gray horns of the spinal cord. And if you have gray horns, that means that the horns are on the inside anatomically. Just remember, gray is on the inside of the spinal cord. And then in the brain, the white is on the inside. Man, this pen really is dying. That is big sad, because I really like this pen. Dang it. I need to buy new highlighters. Mine are kind of old. Okay. Anyway, didn't really need to draw all that, but oh well. Reflex arcs, polysynaptic and monosynaptic. A monosynaptic reflex arc means that the sensory neuron goes directly to the motor neuron. Mono, so one step. Polysynaptic means the sensory goes to the inner neuron goes to the motor neuron. Okay, that's simple enough. Connection to a nervous system is the brain and spinal cord. Peripheral nervous system is somatic and autonomic. Somatic is voluntary. Somatic is voluntary. Autonomic is involuntary. And specifically, it makes up the sympathetic and parasympathetic. Sympathetic is fight or flight. Parasympathetic is rest and digest. Neurotransmitters involved in both. This is something I always forget or get wrong. Parasympathetic is acetylcholine. Always. Parasympathetic is always acetylcholine forever and ever and ever. Amen. At the preganglionic neuron, at the postganglionic neuron, it is always acetylcholine for parasympathetic. For sympathetic, you start with acetylcholine and you end with norepinephrine. AKA the postganglionic neuron is releasing epinephrine and norepinephrine. Okay, now we're on page 4. 2, 3. Yep. This is page 4. 9 more pages. Peptide hormones. Oh, the different kinds of hormones, right? Okay. Peptide hormones are made of amino acids. Let's highlight that. Peptide hormones, amino acids. Cleaved from larger polypeptide, or the Golgi modifies and activates them. Or no, they're cleaved from a larger polypeptide, then the Golgi modifies and activates them. They're put in vesicles, released via exocytosis. They're polar, so they cannot pass through the membrane without extra help. They have to use extracellular receptors like G-protein coupled receptors. I'm going to draw my little plasma membrane here and then show that they can't go in. I'll put a little red X. They cannot pass through the membrane. That's steroid hormones only. So, they use receptors on the outside surface. That is a peptide protein made of amino acids. Now I have my steroid hormones. And they are made in the gonads and the adrenal cortex from cholesterol. They do not dissolve. They must be carried by proteins. So I'm going to put a little special buddy on their drawing. And they can pass through the membrane because they're nonpolar, so they go straight through. And they work on nuclear receptors and have direct action on DNA.